I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided radio show today. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening and following I've Decided. We really appreciate that. And if you tuned in last Sunday, we were talking to our friends over at Bob Lindsay Honda and Acura. My friend Jody Lindsay was here just sharing about all the amazing things that they do in our community, but specifically about St. Jude and the Dream Home giveaway and the car that they donate to that organization for this event to raise money for St. Jude. So it kind of kicked off our month talking about kids, and we are going to just roll on into a series here of parenting and pointers and just things that have to do with kids. So I am super excited today to have my guest, Amy Fisher, who is a licensed clinical social worker and owner of Mind Oasis Counseling. She specializes in women and children, and she is going to be here today giving us lots of pointers and tips and some advice on things that we can do to help make us better parents, hopefully, and help our kids maybe behave a little better. Who knows? So I am super excited to interview Amy today. So you're going to want to keep listening and learn more, especially if you still have some kids at home, regardless of what their age is. I think we will learn some stuff. Or maybe you got grandkids. You know, we can always learn when we're dealing with our grandkids too, especially when you have that, you know, your kids are the parents. And so you kind of have to fall in line mostly with how your kids are parenting. And so maybe Amy might can give us a little pointer on that as well. So we're going to get started. Amy, thank you so much for being in the studio with me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I mean, we have just been getting to know each other, and I am just really, every time we're together, I learn something new about communication and parenting and how to think positive thoughts and this whole mindfulness that's really catching fire these days. You were just at our conference a couple of Saturdays ago teaching about communication, Amy.
And yes.
Everyone really loved that. But I am, as a mom, I have to tell you, I'm super pumped up today to get a little bit of advice on things that I can do to help with my parenting skills and really, you know, just be a better mom and hopefully communicate better with my teenagers. I have teenagers, and I know you have little ones.
Yes.
Your kids are, how old are they?
3 and 6.
3 and 6. So you have the little ones, so you can give us some great advice on those young ones for sure.
And of course, I've worked with kids of all ages up to 18, so, and then adults. So it works all the way around.
It's about communicating, and that kind of is across the board, don't you think, really?
Yeah. I mean, everything I'm going to talk about today is about nurturing and the developing brain.
One of the things that I learned with one of my daughters, my oldest one, the communication is so important. From the time she was little, she just wanted to know what was happening, and I had to really communicate that with her. And once I figured that out, it kind of took away a barrier for us, and I bet you can kind of elaborate on that. So you know the question, why is my kid acting like this? I bet you get asked that a lot,
yes,
Amy.
Yes, I do. It's a very good question. Sometimes the kids are screaming, yelling, won't do their homework, won't go to bed on time. Are those things you experience with your own kids?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when they were younger, I had that issue a lot when they were younger. Now, because we were consistent, I have to say that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Consistency.
We were consistent about bedtime, time to wake up, and that kind of thing. And I can see it paying off in that area, because that's the one area we, from the time they were born, really, until now, we have a consistent bedtime. Yeah. So, but there definitely are other areas. But I know I have friends who struggle with that, especially the teenagers. They're doing their homework late at night, you know, and the parents are like, you have got to get to bed and get your homework done sooner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I bet
that's common.
Yeah, consistency is a huge part of parenting, and it's going to be, you're the role model, so you can't be a hypocrite, right? So it's not do as I do at all. It should be, you know, or do as I say, it's right. Do as I do. So that would mean if you're telling them no drinking and driving, that means you don't drink and drive. You
no
know,
texting
those
and driving.
Yes.
You don't text and drive.
Yeah, because you're the role model in general. If you don't want your kid to cuss, you shouldn't be cussing around them. Those certain things.
You hit the nail on the head. If there is one thing I have learned in my 15-year career of being a mom, it is that they absolutely do what you do. They don't do what you say, do they do what you do, yeah. Period. And that is the truth. And I always try to remember that in everything, you know. And so it is so true. You have to be their role model.
The other huge part would be that you want the parents to unite as a team so that we don't have conquer and divide, right? You can't have the child, I don't care what age, go to mom and say, can I do this? And mom says no. And then they go to dad and dad says yes. And now parents are fighting. So parents have to establish household rules in order to say, hey, we decide everything together. We're a team.
And that is perfect when in a great situation. But so many times today, there's the blended families.
Yes.
And what's your advice when you are a blended family and your child is going from one home to the other and the rules aren't the same?
Well, that's exactly right. I actually work with several blended families at my counseling practice, Mind Oasis Counseling, which is on Sterling in Peoria. But what they end up doing, I have them come in and I meet with them and I talk about the essentialness of being consistent. It has to happen. They have to be consistent at both households. So I have each family, you know, the mom's family, the dad's family, create household rules. Then they come back together and we discuss what they had. And then they combine what they decide equally will work in both households.
It is that important.
It's that important. It's hard enough for the kids to go back and forth all the time, having different friends at different locations. But in general, at least knowing what's expected. And the reason it's important to create rules, because so many parents go, oh, my kids know the rules, but that's not the case. And I've tested it out so many times that I know it's not the case. I can say that 100%. If I ask the parents what the rules are, the parents leave the room and bring the kids in, what's the rules? They're all different.
Oh,
they might
really?
Hit a few, but in general, they're all different. And you also, by establishing rules, leave out the point that the kid says, oh, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that. Well, if it's already written down, written, established
in
rules.
In writing.
Yes.
I have mine in writing.
Yes. That's perfect, Kim. That's so
I
perfect.
I do, because let me tell you, they're smart. They'll say, Mom, you didn't say that.
Yeah.
And then they gang up on me.
Yes.
They start, my 13 and 15-year-old, they'll gang up on me and
yes.
go, Mom, you never told. I'm like, oh, yes, I did. Don't you guys dare try to, you know, pin it against me. Mm-hmm. We know the rules. We know the guidelines. You know, one of the things, and so I'm curious what you think about this. And then we'll talk a little bit about toddlers and younger kids, too. But being in high school, one of the things that I did for Kinsley when she was going into her freshman year this year, we laid guidelines down before she ever started.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, now this is how old you're going to be your freshman year. One of her best friends is older than her. I said, she's going to get to date before you date. So don't come home and say, Mom, you know, so-and-so is going on a date. I want to go on a date too, because you know that it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that really has helped. And is that, you know, good advice to other parents to lay down the rules beforehand?
Yeah, definitely. I think even with younger kids, is if they can start the program that I teach, because I have one that I've developed totally that I use in my office. If you can start when they're younger, it's easier while they're older because they're trained in that way. But with the older kids, yeah, it needs to be established and needs to be laid down. The point of the parenting work that I do is I give you the bones, right? The skeleton. You get to put down your own skin, which is your morals, your values, your family's beliefs. And that's what your rules are made of. So for you, you say it has to be a certain age. For another family, they may say it might be based on maturity.
It just depends.
Yes.
Yeah. Or there's always exceptions to the rules. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I tell my kids, you can always ask me. Yes. No question is off limits. Mm-hmm. I want them to ask me. If they ask, I know what their friends are doing, right? I know what their thoughts are. I know what their friends are up to. So I encourage, ask. If I say no, I'll give you the reason why I'm saying no. You know, it's not just to be a mean mom, mm-hmm. you know, and because, you know, I don't want you to get to do fun things. Mm-hmm. There's a reason if I say no. But you ask me because depending on the situation, depending on who it is, do I know their parents? You know, one of Kinsley's best friends, I run with her mom 4 days a week. We're really good friends, too. Mm-hmm. So it could depend.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of parents like the rule, no means no, don't ask again. So in that situation, it's just because some parents get very overwhelmed with they're trying to lay rules down. They're trying to say, no, this is not a good choice. And maybe they don't know why. It's just in their gut, it's not a good choice. And their kids go, but mom, I need to know why. And then the parents beyond angry at this point. So I encourage parents, and I'll tell the kids as well, give a breather, walk away 10, 15 minutes, and then you can go back and say, mom, you know, can you explain why you chose the way you chose?
Because they do want to know why.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they really do. You're young. Yeah. They're learning. Yeah. And they want what they want. And they don't know why.
Yeah.
They just know that's what they want right now.
Yeah.
And they don't understand why you're saying no. Because in their mind, they're thinking, what's wrong with this?
Yes.
I'm not going to do anything.
Yes.
That's what they're really thinking.
Well, yeah. And their decision-making part of their brain is not developed until at least 25. And some studies are starting to say it's a little older than that.
That's incredible, isn't it, what they're finding out?
So when these kids make these huge mistakes and they say, oh, I didn't know, well, they really probably didn't. And they could actually say it's because my brain's not developed yet, which is...
Don't tell that secret to them, Amy.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell them that.
But it's the truth. Yeah.
No, it is the truth. I know. I've learned that before, and I know that to be true. And that is why, though, these kids need rules.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find, and do you find this, that so many parents this day and age really are wanting to be more of their kid's friend?
Yeah.
They don't want their kid to be mad at them.
Yeah.
And how, you know, what kind of advice do you have? Because I, listen, it breaks your heart if you think your kid, you love them so much. And to think that they're mad at you or they think you're an evil mom or evil dad, it really rips your heart out, you know, when all you want is what's best for them. So then you just give in. Then you go, just forget it. Do whatever you want to.
No.
Right.
That's not going to, you know, don't do that.
No, right.
Yeah, definitely.
That's just what you feel like.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll talk about that because that's just reinstating what you don't want. Because what you let go, you teach people how to treat you, right? So if they get by with it once, they're going to ask again, just like a kid at the candy store, right? Mom says no the first time and then gives in. The next time, the kid's going to escalate, get louder and louder until they get the way and mom gives in. The only way to change that behavior is mom has to consistently for weeks say no every single time.
Absolutely. If no means no, you know, and that is, when you said that earlier, I think I've used that before.
Yeah.
In certain situations, no means no. And what I say when I use that line is, when I say no, there's no begging.
Yes.
I've already thought it through. Like, I've made the decision.
Yes.
Now, I'll explain to you why I made the decision.
Yes.
And usually they still don't like the answer.
Mm-hmm.
They still don't like the answer.
No.
And because they like to throw the, you don't trust me. Ugh, rule, you know, that's the big one. You don't trust me because if you don't let them do what they want to do, then there's this whole trust thing, right?
Yeah.
What's your advice on that, Amy?
Well, you could say, well, because your brain's not developed. But
that's a good one.
I mean, that's really why. I mean, honestly, their decision-making capabilities are just not there yet. And also a lot of parents, they may trust their child, but some children are just not leaders, they're followers, and that's very scary, where they're going to follow whatever their friends or their crowd does, and that's not okay either.
Right. And you're really stretching it if you say, oh, I trust my kid 100%, they're always going to make good decisions. You just said, Amy, their brain is not fully developed.
Yeah, and I work with kids enough, teenagers enough to know what they do. And their parents will tell me how great their child is, and I can't say much, you know, unless they're in harm. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you have no clue. They know all the tricks in the book.
Well, I was a teenager, mm-hmm. weren't you?
Yeah.
We know all the tricks in the book, and you do. You figure out a way. They figure out
but
a way.
But technology adds this whole other.
Oh, goodness, technology. Mm-hmm. What's your advice on technology? I know that's a big old can of worms, and that's a whole nother show. But do you have some basic guidelines for technology?
It's difficult, right? Because you want to know where your child is. You want to be able for them to call you in case of an emergency. A lot of parents do put like a GPS tracker on their kid's phone. My experience is the kids who are honest with their parents, they don't mind if GPS trackers are on their phone. The ones who throw a fit about it, they're not being truthful and honest about it. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
But do you think it's a good idea to have a GPS tracker?
Yeah,
I think so.
I do.
You got to keep them between the lines. Yeah. My husband always says, you have to keep them honest.
Yeah, and if you don't tell them it's on there, it's probably even better. And I hate to say that, but I know too much. And the kids who know it's on there, they will tell their parents they're going to the gym, put the phone in the locker, and then go somewhere else.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's why I'm saying, because we do, they have a lot of freedom and we want them. But what our job is as parents, because you asked a question earlier, friend or parent first. It's parent first, friend close second.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if you can be a parent first, you will have a friend for life.
Right. They will start to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their eyes start to open as they see. And the other thing is, they see their friends too, you know. I always love it when I meet one of Kinsley's new friends and their mom wants to meet me. And I want to be like, see, Kinsley, I'm not the only mom. I'm always so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. But you can't believe how many parents just drop their kids off.
Yeah.
And they don't know us. They don't know who we are, you know, and it's just, they just say their kid goes, oh, can I go spend the night with so-and-so? And you're like, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think that's scary to me.
And with younger kids with sleepovers and even older kids with sleepovers, a lot of parents are worried of sexual abuse and those sorts of things kind of happening. And that's a whole nother can of worms. But in general, you should, I go over it with kids from day one. There's lots of good books you can get, like child books,
right,
on sexual abuse happening at a party. Things like that, or at a sleepover, and what you can do to protect yourself in those situations and how to handle it, because they need to know. But sexual abuse normally does not happen at a friend's house or a sleepover. It does.
It's possible,
but
it's
not
rare.
Usually. It's usually a family member.
Right. That's what I've heard too.
You know, or a mom's boyfriend. Something more on those lines, that's more often than a sleepover.
Oh, yeah.
But you always just give your kids as many tools as they can. To
be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell my kids this too. I'm like, what are your goals? I ask them, what are your goals? What do you want? You know, if their goal is to be drug free, you know, then our rules, you know, will be laid so that you can reach your goals.
Yes.
So if you ask me if you can hang around a kid that we know is using drugs, the answer is going to be no.
Yeah.
Not because we don't think that kid could be a great kid or we're judging that kid. Everybody makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But because the fact is that you said your goal is to be drug free.
Mm-hmm.
So if your goal is to be drug free, then you don't want to hang around kids or other people that are doing drugs, right?
Yeah, and you're a goal setting person. So I think that's perfect for your family. I think it's good advice in general. But I do want the parents who are out there listening to know, if you know your kids are using even marijuana or something else, they're probably coping and using drugs to cope. And they may be experiencing bullying. They may just actually have a lot of anxiety and it helps them calm down. And instead, they need to learn coping skills, which a good counselor can teach coping skills. And then if it's really extreme, they may need to be on medication. And of course, that's last resort for a lot of people. But if they're using illegal drugs or drugs in general, we would just rather them learn coping skills or get on something to help them regulate, because we want them. Because right now, since even marijuana is not legal, you don't know what it's laced with, where it's coming from, any of those things. And I would rather children be on something that's going to be more...
What are some examples of coping skills? Like, Are there some things, like if somebody's listening and they're like a little they're mm-hmm. just not sure what you mean by coping skills. Yeah, Is there a few little examples that you can give us?
Yeah, a lot of coping skills in general. This works for all ages. Of course, the basic one is going to be deep breathing, which is in through your nose, out through your mouth. For little kids, I say smell the flowers, blow out the candles. So but it's very long inhales and long exhales, right? And very focused. And it's learning to get their mind cleared of thoughts, which is a mindful process that I teach. And then after they can do that, they can center themselves in a calm place. It's kind of like if you drop a pebble in the ocean, we can just imagine it going down, 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 down. No matter what's going up on the shore, there could be a storm. There could be all kinds of things going on. But from at the very bottom, it looks clear and crystal clear and just peaceful. And that's where you want your mind to be. No matter what's going on around you, your insides, your state of mind is clear and calm and rational and can handle it.
And you help them learn these skills.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys listening, but I'm just kind of calming just listening to you talking about the pebbles going down, down, down. That's amazing to me. Mm-hmm. So awesome. Well, listen, if you're just tuning in, I am talking to my friend Amy Fisher. She is a licensed clinical social worker and owner of Mind Oasis Counseling on Sterling Avenue in Peoria. And just really giving us some awesome advice on parenting. And there she was just sharing with us a little bit about coping skills. And, you know, if you have a child who has gone to an extreme or, you know, experimenting with drugs or something, Amy can maybe help them learn some coping skills and get them away from that. Because like you said, Amy, it's easy for us to jump to that judgment, like, you shouldn't do that. Bad, bad, bad child, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's how you feel. Because you're like, I'm a horrible parent. My kid's doing drugs.
Yeah. And parents lack even parenting skills because there isn't a manual on it. There's several books, and some books are just terrible, honestly. So I have chosen to find things that are great and work with kids of all ages, which I've been doing for over 13 years. So I am experienced in how to do this. But things that parents do is they get caught in power struggles quite often with their kids, you know, which is who's the adult here in the situation. And then they embarrass their kids by trying to correct them in public.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and assume the worst, you know, before their kids even have chances to explain. So those are huge. But I think we just need to rethink how we discipline in general, because a lot of parents think of consequences. Like, their consequence needs to fit the crime, the behavior. And I would encourage people to look at discipline differently. And I can talk about that a little more.
Yeah, but I'm curious. It piqued my interest. So give me an idea what you mean by that.
Well, first it would be becoming more intentional about the discipline that you're going to do based on your decisions, your conscious decisions, based on your values and lessons you want to teach them. Like we talked about, the framework of your family. And then engaging them with a very thoughtful approach. This is a pre-planned approach if possible. And what I teach in my parenting program is pre-planned, but you can't always have everything pre-planned. But especially parents who tend to get very angry and out of control and they just discipline or consequence their child out of anger, they definitely need pre-planned methods ahead of time. Which, you know, that's another show, and that's something I really specify in. But anything with that would be to help increase their brain growth. And that's what I'm going to kind of lead into now, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that keep going. I'm listening, and I'm sure the listeners are too, because it's very interesting.
And this is going to work for all ages. So the first question, like you asked, was why does my child act this way? And the real answer is they just don't have the capacity to regulate their emotions or control their impulses yet.
And that's true.
They just don't
have that capacity. Mm-hmm.
They don't. They have such big feelings. I mean, you can picture a 3-year-old screaming and yelling because you gave them something like a cup and they wanted the blue cup and you gave them the green cup and they're like losing their mind and you're like,
it's a cup.
Yeah, just drink it, right? You know,
I think that I've had that experience before, actually. So, something very similar
but
to
it
that.
Happens even with teenagers. Yeah. Just a different level of it. Or husband and wife, just a different level of it, right?
It's so easy to be reactive in general.
Yes.
You know, because it's stress. Life is hard. It's stressful. Yeah. We live in such a crazy, busy mm-hmm. time. Kids are busy. Parents are busy. Both parents are usually working full time. Kids are involved in everything under the sky, you know, and so you're running here and running there. And then when a kid just says, I don't want that cup, you want to be like, then don't drink at all. Thirst to death.
Yeah. So instead of being reactive, we want to be intentional.
Right.
And so this is going to take us from always trying to survive these moments to thriving in them. And that's what we want our children to do. This is what teachers should be helping their students do, is thrive in the environment instead of just trying to get through it.
Right.
Okay. So the next part would be, why is my child's behavior this way is what you asked first. But what are they trying to communicate? Right? We talked about they're having big feelings. What are they really trying to communicate? And I want you to think about it when they are having a tantrum because their brains aren't developed. So first, just calm yourself and be like, their brains aren't developed. Just say whatever you need
just
to say.
Just remind yourself of that.
Deep breathe yourself.
Right.
And then say, what are they really trying to communicate in this moment? What are they really feeling? Okay. And parents, it's helpful just to even print off a feelings list, like a basic one that is, I call shallow feelings and then deep feelings. The shallow feelings, don't print off a list like that. That's the kind they have in preschool. Happy, sad, angry, mad. We want, you know, desperate, lonely, unheard, lonely, helpless. We want real feelings of how they're probably feeling in the moment. Okay. And help them learn to communicate that too, because that's how you're helping them thrive as well, by tapping into their feelings. And then what lesson do I want to teach in this moment?
Good one.
That is huge. So huge. Because if you're helping them thrive, then you're looking at their behavior as in what lesson? And it's what lesson am I wanting to teach them for the real world, for to be the best adult they can be? And because their brains are developing, remember I talked about this. So what fires together? So this means experiences over and over and over again wire together. Did we got that? What fires wires? So if it happens repeatedly, it's going to become a core memory in your brain.
And that's what you're going to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. You know, I went through a phase where I was very reactive when my kids were little. And then I learned to not to be better than that, to do better. And so once I learned to do better, then I had to be consistent with that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, my daughters did not trust, right, that that's how it was going to be. And now gradually over a few years, they're starting to realize, okay, mom's not going to freak out like she has before. She's doing a better job. And if I make mistakes, I apologize. You know, I'm like, I'm sorry.
That's good.
You know, I'm trying so hard to not do that. It's not right, you know? And so it's been amazing. And so I really like what you said. You said what fires?
Wires.
Wires.
Because their brains are developing. So the adults that I work with, I do a lot of healing childhood wounds. And a lot of it is repeated experiences again and again create trauma. It creates low self-esteem. It creates all kinds of things.
It's where your behaviors come from.
Yeah.
It really is. You're, you know, it's like the trusting and all of that. You know, your behaviors, your mindset can come from what happens.
Well, it's the trauma.
Over and over.
It's,
yeah.
It's those things that impacts. It can be good experiences or not so good.
That's amazing. Oh my goodness, Amy, our half hour is up.
Oh my gosh.
I know. How fast did that go? Man, I hope you were able to tune into the whole show because it was really, really good. And don't worry, if you only caught the last part, you can go to our website at ivedecided.org. And early this week, you'll be able to listen to the whole radio show, or if you want to share it with a friend, it'll be posted there. So you can listen to the radio show, you can share it, and go back and listen to the whole thing. And we really appreciate you tuning in and supporting I've Decided. That's what we're here for. We are here for you to help you achieve success in your goals, whatever they are, and provide you amazing resources like Amy, who is a licensed counselor. Amy, I'm tongue-tied. A licensed clinical social worker who owns Mind Oasis Counseling. in Peoria on Sterling Avenue. And Amy, at the close of our show, will you just let them know how they can reach out to you if they've found some interest in what you've said and would like to make an appointment with you or come see you? Yeah. Can you tell them?
So just, it's simple. Go to my website. It's www.mindoasiscounseling.com. And on there is the list of events I have coming up, which is quite a few. The one I do want to talk about really quickly, it's the Women's Therapeutic event, Making Yourself a Priority, because you need to be your best to give your best to your kids and to your family. And that's coming up at the end of the month on April 29th.
And they can register for all of that at mindoasiscounseling.com.
And they can also schedule appointments on that website as well. They don't have to call in. And I take most major insurances.
That is awesome. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much.
Great advice. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys. Have a rest of a great week. And I'll be back with you next Sunday.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?